Come on, lift your voice for a moment. God, we love you. Jesus, we need you in this room. God, we let you come in this room.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to say thank you to the Mount Vernon Church for allowing me to come. Thank you to the Connect team for inviting me and allowing me to be a part. Thank you to the youth. Thank you guys for, at very least, pretending to listen and for assimilating Donovan in so well and allowing him to be a part. I thank you for that. And I want to share something with everybody here tonight. It will be, of course, directed towards the youth, but I hope there's something for everybody. The theme of deeper, we sort of the way that things went this weekend, the first day sort of was looking for a deeper understanding, and then last night we talked prayer and fasting and tried to put some handles on prayer and fasting so that we could call for and participate with a deeper commitment to God. And today I would like to continue in the theme, obviously, of deeper, but I want to take a look at the other side of this coin. And I want to talk to us today about allowing God to go deeper into us. I feel like it's one thing to be chasing Him, but to draw near to God, He draws near to you, and there is something that He wants to do. And one of the things that we've reiterated, I think, throughout everything is the fact that God has a plan. And if you don't know that, I want you to know that God has a plan. He started a plan a long time ago, and it's been running for ages. And the awesome part is because you're here today, He has a part for you to play. There's something for you to do in the plan that He has. And so if I could draw your attention today to a few verses, we're going to be in the book of John, and then we're going to be in the book of 1 John. We're going to start in John chapter 17. One of the things that we know, part of the plan of God, was that He be known. I know that a lot of times God can feel evasive. We can chase Him and feel like we can never get a hold of Him, feel like He's not there, can't hear from Him. But He does desire to be known. Do we have the verses? Yes, I'm ready. I'm sorry. John chapter 17. Jesus, in a prayer that He prayed, He says, "These words spake Jesus, and He lifted up His eyes to heaven, and He said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him, and this is life eternal." Don't we all want to know? Don't we all want to know? "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." So here we know, we get this picture from Jesus, that this God who created and has a plan, part of His plan is to desire to be known. And His desire to be known, the knowing of God, is life eternal. Eternal life is found in knowing God. But there is a trick to it, because we read in other portions. In fact, I think it's the same author. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "This then is the message which we've heard, declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." He builds on this a little bit, and a couple of chapters later, in the fourth chapter, the 12th verse, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us." One of the struggles that we have, a God who desires to be known, identifies with light, which is invisible, and our salvation, eternity, is tied up in knowing an invisible God. So how can you see and how can you know something that's invisible, especially when eternity weighs and hangs in the balance? What do you do? Well, as I mentioned, God has a plan. God has a plan. And I want to talk to us today about this, when the invisible becomes visible. If you would close your Bibles and let's one more time invite the presence of the Lord and allow God just to have his way in this, the rest of this service. God, we love and we thank you for everything you've done so far. And I thank you, Lord, for the things that you've called us to, the awarenesses that you've given us, Lord, and the things that you've allowed us to understand so that we can walk more perfectly in you. And I pray, God, that today through this message, Lord, that you would help us to understand that we need you. We need you, Lord, in us, and we want you to go deeper in us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, hallelujah, have your way. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So how can an invisible God be known? How can an invisible God be observed? I was working a few years ago with a gentleman who was making his way back into church, and he was telling me stories. He was talking to me about spending some time in jail, and he, of course, obviously made some bad decisions and was searching after the Lord while he was in jail. But then when the time came for him to be released, and he said this was just one of those moments in his life that just stuck out. It's one of those highlight moments, one of those things that just he never has been able to forget. He said, I was walking out of the jail. It was nighttime when I was released, and I was just sort of down on myself. I was in this depressed place, and I was frustrated. I was ashamed because I was even in jail. I was just dealing with all of these things. And he said, and as I was walking outside, he said it was a clear night, and I walked outside, and as my heart started to ask the question of God, are you really real? He said, as I looked up into the sky, before I could even get the question out, he said, a shooting star went across the sky. And just that moment, he said, I knew. He said that just was like there was just the timing of that thing was so much that God let me know. That shooting star for him served as an answer to God. And I said, man, that is a powerful thing. I said, but you know, I think what's probably more impressive than anything for me in that story is the fact that when God created everything, when he hung the stars in space and he spoke everything into existence, there was a moment, and I don't know how it worked, I don't know how God did it, but in my mind, I think God picked up a little piece of space dust, and he sent that thing hurling through space. And he said, I know that there's going to be a day where that young man's going to stand outside of a prison cell, and he's going to wonder if I'm really real. And so the timing of that, he sent that thing out and said, and so when it comes, it's going to pass by Earth. It's going to come into the atmosphere at just the right time when he looks up and wonders if I'm real, and he'll know, and I'm starting it today. And so from creation, God set a process. He set something in motion thousands of years earlier so that that man would know that God was real. And to hear that, to see the foresight, to see the forelove of God, that before he was even born, God set things in motion to let him specifically, one man, on a earth of however many, and planets, a small little ball of dirt out in space, that God knew where he was, knew where he was going to be, and he began to weep at the foresight and the planning of God. And it wasn't too long ago, I was thinking a little bit about this foresight stuff, and I began to think about Noah's Ark. Noah, God calls him out of a corrupt and a crooked world, and he says, build me a boat, and I want you to live with animals for a year. And he drops a bunch of water on the earth, right? And there's this flood. And at the end of the flood, Noah's sick and tired of animals, and he's sick and tired of floating on a boat, and he gets out and he has a conversation with the Lord and he offers his sacrifices. And in his talking to God, God says, hey, listen, Noah, I really appreciate everything you've done, but I don't want to have to do this again. So I'm going to put a rainbow up in the sky. And that way, every time we look at that rainbow, every time you look at it, you know that I've made a promise and a covenant with men. And you'll know that I have that I'm not going to destroy the earth with water again. You'll know that. And more importantly, I'll know it. When I look at the rainbow, I'll remember the promise that I made today. And I thought, man, that's such an awesome thing, especially when you consider the fact that however many years before, once again, when God spoke things into creation, when he designed water, he spoke light and designed water. He made water. Because you know how rainbows are made? I'm going to talk over my head for just a second because I don't get it. I don't understand it. But light is, it's a crazy thing. It's invisible. You can't see it, right? And for the longest time, it was just, we could see a ball of sun and we knew we could put a hand, we could cast a shadow. And light was, it's this invisible thing, but we know that it's there. But how it works, we just don't really know. And so this invisible light that's out there, right, God designed and the way that he's orchestrated things is when that light comes into our atmosphere and it passes through water, there's something that happens in there. It bends around and it bounces around inside. And all of a sudden, this invisible thing called light, when it passes through water, it breaks up into all of these other parts that we didn't even know were there. And all of a sudden, this rainbow is displayed. And it's an incredible thing that God had designed. Because I don't know, again, and I'm not scientific, but I do know this, that there's no little creatures that live inside of water that are feverishly working to help break light apart. I know that there's no factory inside every droplet of water that the light passes into, and when it comes out the other side, it's divided up evenly into its different colors. There's no little spray paint machines in there that help give it the color. Right? There is nothing, and this is so cool, there is nothing special. There's nothing, there's no task, there's no duty, there's nothing that water does to refract and to break up the light, to make the invisible visible. It's just the way that it was designed. God designed it. And then beyond that, God designed it at creation. Before the creation of man, before men fell, and before sin got so bad, and before he called Noah, and before he destroyed the earth with water, before he did all of that, and there was a need for a promise, God designed water so that it would be able to refract light, and so it would be able to break it up and display a rainbow as a symbol of a promise that God was going to make. Before it was time for the promise, God designed water with special attributes and special character to be able to do something that nothing else can do. I think that's awesome. I think that is an incredible thing. It's just how it was designed. We just talked about God identified himself through his word as being light. God is light. He is invisible. He's spirit. No man has seen God at any time, but yet we know eternity is tied up in this ability to know God. And then he takes it a step further and he says, I know that. And so to tie up eternity and our eternity in knowing God, God then steps into human flesh. And our Bible tells us that Jesus then was the express image of this God, that in Christ was the fullness, the completeness. Everything that was in God was in Jesus Christ, right? And so what happens is that everything that was in the invisible, when it passed through water, it becomes displayed in all of these colors because all the colors are there. All the wavelengths are there in light. It just wasn't broken up to where it was visible. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God passing through man becomes visible. It's broken up, and now through Christ, an invisible God through man, the invisible becomes visible, and now the character of God and the mind of God, the righteousness of God are now observable. Now we can see and we can know God, and now we can have life eternal. The invisible become visible. But here's the part that I want us to understand. This is where I want us to go with this. In Genesis chapter 1, back to creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 that says, God made man in his image. And so humanity, men and women in this house today, I want you to know this, that God designed you. God designed you to be able to express himself. He designed you to be able to reveal himself to this earth. He designed you to be able to make himself known through you. Part of your design, just the way that you were created in him, is you were designed to reveal God in this earth. There is no special skill. There is no special thing that you can do. In fact, when men tried to do things to reveal God, when men tried to be like God, it didn't work. And so it's not anything that you do. There's no special skill set that you do to be able to reveal God. It's just the way that you were created. Invisible light through water, it reveals to us Roy G. Biv. And an invisible God through man reveals Jesus Christ. And it is the rainbow of righteousness. It is this rainbow of godliness and this rainbow of holiness, right? A multitude of elements that we could not see in the invisible God become visible. And guess what we call those things? We call them the fruit of the Spirit. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus, we've talked about this through this week, Jesus talking to the people that he had walked with, and he's giving them instructions. He says, I want you guys to go down and I want you to pray and I want you to tarry for the Holy Ghost, because you are going to be endued with power to become witnesses. Right? What is he talking about? He says, listen, you don't know it yet, but I have so designed you to reveal some things that you don't even understand. And you can't do it by yourself. And so you need a certain power to be able to reveal the things that I want you to reveal. So I want you to go and I want you to pray. And what's going to happen is you will receive the power to be able to refract God in a way that makes me visible to this earth. And so I want you to go and I want you to pray, because I'm fixing to shine my Spirit through you. And I'm fixing to make myself known in a way that nobody's ever seen me before. And so in an upper room, and all of a sudden an invisible Spirit of God passed through men, and God was revealed in a beautiful way as the fire of the Holy Ghost fell and they began to speak with other tongues. And Peter stands up, and all of these questions are saying, we're seeing things that we've never seen before. What are we seeing? And he says, you're seeing God. This was a promise. God said he was going to do this. This is a promise for you. This is not, though, just for the sake of displaying the invisible. This is pointing to a promise. That display of God pointed to a promise for you and to future generations. This promise that you see, this display that you see, it is a promise. It's a sign of a promise for you and to future generations and to all that I call. So when the invisible becomes visible, listen, it always points to a promise. You were designed for a promise. You were designed to make your God known in this earth. And I promise you, there is a way for you to go through this life. There is a way that God wants you to go through your challenges. And there is a way that God wants for you to endure and go through your struggle. I promise you, listen to me, there is purpose in your pain. God wants to be revealed in the things that are happening in your life. But you have got to allow the light of God in. You have got to allow the invisible to shine through you. And so we can walk in the light as children of the light. We've got to let God go deeper into us so that we can show forth the praise of him, so that we can reflect and so that we can refract and so that we can make God and his traits known. And this is the part that's the hardest part, I think, sometimes. We like to celebrate Acts 2:38 and the initial display and the initial promise that's sprayed out there. But there was a lot of different colors in a rainbow. And I think the infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, that's just one color. There's a lot of different colors that God wants to display. And that's why there's things called love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, right? These things. This is a beautiful rainbow of the character of God that when he flows through you and you can walk in that light, that is what is refracted and that's what's shown. But as is often the case, rainbows only appear after or during a storm. The rainbow fruit of the Spirit often are only on display after or during a storm. And so what that means is that there are times, folks, and I don't know why this is how it was designed, and I don't know why God has done it like this, but we need the storms in our lives. And I know it's easy, folks, and the default for us a lot of times is to curse the storms and to yell at the things that are going wrong and to yell at the troubles and the things, but we need these storms in life, because the reality is that if we're going to display the love of God, if we're going to display a divine love of God through our lives, what we need in order for it to stand out, here's the thing, in order for a rainbow to stand out, have you ever seen one that's against a blackened sky? Have you ever seen a rainbow against a dark sky? It's so bright, it's so vibrant, it's so clear, it's so beautiful. In order for there to be the proper display of God's love, there has to be an opportunity for hate. If we're going to stand out in this world, and if the Spirit of God through us is going to stand out and be different, than anything else, then we've got to be able to stand in a place where hate is what's being called from us, but the Spirit of God shining through us shows love instead. And that means if you're going to show divine joy in your life, then that means you've got to stand face to face with an opportunity to sorrow. And if you're going to show peace, that means you're going to have to stand face to face with an opportunity for war. And if you're going to show the long-suffering of God, there's got to be a moment and have an opportunity for you to be intolerant. If you're going to be gentle and have divine gentleness, the gentleness that only comes from God, you're going to have to stand in a moment where you have an opportunity to be harsh. And if you're going to be good, you're going to stand in a moment to have an opportunity to be wicked. If you're going to be meek, you're going to have to be in a moment. You're going to have to be pushed to the limit to where you want to be aggressive. If you're going to be temperate, if you're going to be self-controlled, then you've got to be in a moment where life pushes you to an out-of-control feeling and sensation. If the divine, inspired Holy Ghost through you is going to reveal God the way that he wants to reveal it, it's got to be in life. Because anybody can be peaceful when they're alone. Anybody can be peaceful when things are going right. Right? Jesus stood up to a lot of them. He said, you can love your enemy. Anybody can do that. Even the heathen does that. He said, but I'm telling you, you need to love your friend. You can love your family, but anybody can love your family and their friends. I'm telling you, you need to love your enemies. Why is that? He said, because that's divine love, and that's the thing that's going to stand out against a backdrop, everything else, and I don't want to be invisible anymore. I'm tired of men reflecting themselves, and I'm tired of them showing this. What Galatians talked about, the works of the flesh. I'm tired of the wrath and the hatred and the bitterness and all these things that we display. I'm ready for some color in life. I'm ready for some things to be shown in this earth. And God designed you to show it. God designed you so that you could do it. We need to quit praying, folks, that God remove life's storms. And we start praying that God allows us to properly reveal him in our storm. If you would stand with me today, I got to ask, is there anybody here? You find yourself walking in that storm. You find yourself in a place of chaos. You find yourself where things aren't in order. The light doesn't seem to be shining. In a storm, it gets dark. Let me tell you something. I don't know who in here, I don't know what you're walking through, and I don't know what you're going through, but you've often said in your heart, I can't see God moving in my life. I cannot see God. I can't see the light in my life. I cannot see God moving in my life. But listen to me, you may not see an invisible God moving in your life, but I promise you, everybody else will see God moving through you. You may not see the invisible as God orchestrates things in your life, But if you will allow the Holy Ghost to shine through you in your dark hour and in your storm, I promise you, you little droplet of water, I promise you, you little ball of flesh, if you allow the invisible to flow through you, I promise if you allow that, then everybody that's watching will look and say, man, look at the beautiful God that they serve. Look at what's on display through their life. If there's anybody here walking in that storm, I invite you today, let Jesus shine deeper into your soul and reflect your great God. And if there's somebody in here, you're just hungry and you want to fulfill your God-designed purpose in life. You want to make your invisible God known. And I want to invite you today to come. And even if there's somebody maybe in this place, you've never invited God in. You've never allowed that light to shine into your life. You've never allowed the Spirit of God to shine in and through you. Today, I want to invite you. Today, allow God to go deeper in you. Allow Him to come deeper and to make today in your storm or in your hunger or in your desperation. Right now, today, allow an invisible God into your life to make become visible into a world, listen, into a world that needs to see the promises of God. Because here's what happens. God shines His light through you, and you reveal something, and people point and say, look at that. I didn't know that people could go through what they went through and come out so beautifully on the other side. And it points to a promise for them. And they said, yeah, that promise can be for you too. You can display the same thing in your life. Listen, the things that you reflect, if we walk in the Holy Ghost and we allow the Spirit of God to move through us, that speaks to the promises of God. And so you just don't know, folks. You just don't know the Holy Ghost through you. Speaks promise to somebody else who doesn't think they can make it. It speaks promise to somebody else who thinks that their world's just a storm. They don't see the promise on the other side. This world needs a sign. They need to see a sign of His promises. That's why God said, that's why Jesus told them, I want to give you power to be that sign. I want you to be the power. I'm going to give you the power to be the display of that promise in the earth. But it required repentance. It required repentance, and it required a seeking after that invisible God. And you know what? When something's invisible, when somebody tells you that it's there and it's real, it requires a certain amount of faith. And I'm telling you that God is real. And if you can walk out on just a little bit of faith today, if you can walk out in just a little bit of faith today and say, okay, I'll trust and I'm going to open myself up to allow that God to come in. You just don't know what God might shine through your life if you'll let Him. When that invisible, listen, when the invisible God becomes visible in your life, you just don't know what that might look like. You just don't know. You don't know what the rainbow out of your life looks like. You just don't know what that rainbow might look like. So as we sing whatever song we've got to sing, I want to invite you. You can either come up front and pray, or you can stay where you're at. But I encourage you right now, you need to invite that invisible God in. Just a little bit of faith that says, okay, I can't seem, and I may not be able to, He may not be observable right now, but I need Him, and I want Him in me. I want Him flowing through me. I want Him to do. I want Him to come in and bounce around in my life however He needs to, so that He can come out the way He needs to. God, in the name of Jesus.
Take me further. God, I long for more. Take me higher than I've been before. Jesus, I want more. Jesus, I need more. to touch you.
I need Heard the fruit of the Spirit explained more beautifully than what we just heard this morning. That was a gem of a word we heard today. I think one of the toughest times throughout the course of this year was the funeral for Luke Schroeder, 17-year-old, a lot of life to live ahead of him, passed away, had a massive issue concerning his brain and tumor on his brain. He was in Children's Hospital for months, being tended to and cared for by the nurses, the medical staff there. Everybody saw the presence of God throughout that whole process. They said they've never seen one person get so many visitors, and that being from ministers that have come through to see him. That was one witness to the family and to the medical staff there. But when we got to the service, there were several there from Children's Hospital who see life and death on a daily basis, who go through that, and many of them would admit themselves that they become a little bit numb, calloused, even immune to some of the pain because they live with it day after day. But as we worshiped God and as we praised Him in that funeral service, you could see them visibly moved. And afterwards, they talked to some of those from our church who work at Children's, and they said, we have never seen anything like that before. They were visibly moved to tears because they said, we've never seen such hope. We've never seen so much sorrow that was swallowed up by so much joy. As Brother Smith said it so well, when there is an occasion for sorrow, God gives us joy, even though the whole rest of the world is calling for sorrow. I thank God that He's able to even use storms to bring about His power and to show people how much He cares. What an awesome God we serve. To orchestrate and design and put that all into motion. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Brother Smith, for that wonderful, wonderful word. I want to mention very quickly before we're dismissed, we're happy to have several guests with us today. Brother Gonzalez is here. Brother Gonzalez, we're so happy to have you here. This is Mark's father. We're happy to have you from New Hampshire. And then Brother Clay Williams, a dear friend of Brother Mark Gonzalez, Brother Austin Farrell, a friend of mine. We're happy to have you here all the way from Connecticut. We're glad you're here. Welcome. There's one more thing we need before we're dismissed, and that is Brother Weimer's father passed away this past week. The funeral is on Tuesday in Columbus at 10 a.m., and although it is off-site, we'd like to do something to bless and help the family along the lines of food and a reception. So if you can help either put it together or at least help with it, please come and see me after service and let me know what you can do to help. We'd like to do something for the family. Brother Weimer is a great blessing to us all week, every week. He comes in and serves and cleans and helps, drives, and is a wonderful blessing, and we'd like to bless him during this time. So if you can help, please come and see me, and I'll help. Happy to help you to know what you can do. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Welcome home, Connect. We're happy to have you back. There is a meeting for all Connect students and parents in the chapel. This is just to give a date, a list of dates of things that are going on in the fall and winter time. So if you are a Connect student or Connect parent, please meet us in the chapel.